on a Friday night, a pair of jeans that fit just right, and the radio.
Good morning, I'm Andrew McKay. It's Pensacola Morning News. Joining us now, we have Congressman Jimmy Patronis. And by the way, I told you there would be a couple of stories coming. This is why I don't do teases, because I had mistakenly thought we were not going to be speaking to Jimmy today, but that's because apparently I cannot read a text thread properly. So that's my fault. Jimmy, welcome back, sir.
Hey, buddy. Good morning.
Hey, good to have you. So how much of the IEEPA tariff refunds are you scheduled to get? I think it's like $170 billion that Customs and Border Protection is going to start issuing. The portal opens today, and companies that got the that paid in, you know, Costco, Target, Sam's, Amazon, all these companies that paid in billions of dollars are going to start getting their money back. A tenth of the GDP of Florida is going to swing back to private hands after this.
You know, that really gets under my skin. I think Trump was in the right place. There was things he was doing with tariffs. He was stopping wars. He was leveraging countries where he didn't want to start a war, where they were having bad behavior. And then this comes out. And you know, there's no way that these CEOs are going to get these enormous kickbacks from the federal government, who passed all these additional expenses to the consumer, are going to do any type of return. What I'm interested in, Andrew, is when it comes time to bonus time, I think I'm going to create a website, CEOBonusesFromTariffs.com, because I'm going to see how many of these companies, they give massive bonuses to their CEOs when they had nothing to do with the increased revenues, but based on the tariffs that they increased their prices with anyway.
Absolutely. I mean, I know, you know, the justification for a lot of the product cost increase to the consumer was, oh, well, tariffs, you know, thank President Trump. Okay. Yeah. I mean, fair. I get it. That's the nature of a tariff. It's a tax on me. You know, the importer pays it, but I ultimately pay it as the consumer. Okay. Now you're getting a refund. Where's mine? You know, I want my refund.
You know, I mean, I'm sure there'll be some of these companies that will be cute, and they'll do some type of novelty consumer benefit back out. But for the most part of them, I'm just going to try. Hopefully this thing goes on overdrive and some other issue flares up where this thing all gets forgotten about. So hopefully we just got to keep on stirring the pot.
You know where it strikes me this could go? And, you know, you might be in just the right position to do this because, you know, you're close to the president. Because he lost, and I actually agree with the Supreme Court. I think that what he was doing was not legal. That doesn't mean I disagree with the point, what he was trying to accomplish, but, you know, you have to do it a certain way. But, okay, he's obviously furious about being told that the IEEPA tariffs cannot hold up, and now the government is having to pay it back all this money. What if the president said, you know what, we're paying back all this money because all these companies, you know, are wanting a refund? Okay, cool. The ones who refund to the customer an appropriate level of what we're refunding to them, we're going to do business with them, or we're going to preference them or prioritize them. And the ones who don't, there's going to be problems. There's going to be hell to pay. And by the way, since we're the federal government and we are issuing the checks, we're in a position to be able to sort of monitor this a little bit, to do a little doging of our own on the tariff refunds. You know, I'm not asking him to, I don't know about enforcement exactly, but it seems like something in this direction, somebody fairly clever could come up with a way to make sure that the end American and not the CEO and the dividend shareholders are the ones who get the money.
Well, at the end of the day, the federal government, our United States military, all of our federal agencies, they buy from the retailers also. I mean, you can't run the federal government without the consumables and the things that we still have to buy off the shelf to do our day-to-day business.
Oh, so, no, that's a good point.
I mean,
the government has had to spend extra money because of the tariffs too on the purchasing side. You're right.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. I mean, so it's just, I don't know. Guys, you really learned how to get me going without coffee today. Thank you.
Well, time to go. I have not been following this story all that closely, so I know you have been and care quite a bit about it. What is the connection between the FSU shooter and the ChatGPT? What happened here?
Yeah, so now this shooter used ChatGPT in order to kind of lay out his murder plan. And so now this guy's not been convicted, but he's been caught. He's in a jail. These are now coming out through discovery. So, like, some of the questions he asked ChatGPT, he asked all types of crazy stuff, like anybody else who was a, you know, psychopath, you know, having a friend with an android robot would have. But one of them he asked, he goes, when you have a Glock pistol, does it have a safety? It says, no, a Glock, you just point and shoot. That's where it goes. And then he's asking a follow-up question. What are the busiest times at FSU Student Union where there's the most people? You know, so then he's built out this whole series of questions that were used in the day of the shooting. So, I mean, this is concerning. This gets back to, you know, Section 230 with me, and big tech has got to be responsible, you know. You know, I know this guy was an adult. You know, I care more about the kid side of things, but here's a specific wherewithal where Section 230 protects in place, there'd be probably two more people still alive.
I mean, if, you know, at a certain point, if you asked a human, help me do a more efficient mass shooting, and the human gave you actionable advice like floor plans and people and where the cameras are and what to do and what to avoid, I mean, that person gets tried as at least an accomplice, you know? So
Absolutely. And if you, if I asked you these same questions, you'd probably say something's up with Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm going to go give his mom or dad a call, or I'm going to give, you know, a family member or maybe his boss call, maybe even law enforcement. But you would probably call somebody that was a degree of separation out of abundance of concern. Even shoot a text.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, none of that was done because of Section 230 law protections that are imposed upon these social media companies.
You know, and it's an interesting, there's a whole separate question. I guess I'd never thought much about it, but, you know, if you say some things in front of a mandatory reporting person, they have to call the authorities. And, you know, if you're asking for advice from these companies about, or from this tool, you know, how to do crimes, you know, why isn't that some kind of a reporting situation? I don't know the answer. I haven't thought a lot about that, but that, it raises that question for sure. Like, I know, you know, First Amendment protections are probably going to be prohibitive on something like what I was just talking about. But still, it's worth thinking about at least a little bit if we can, you know, do something more, especially because these tools are so dangerous and so, you know, powerful. You were at the East Milton Wastewater Treatment Plant ribbon cutting for Santa Rosa County the other day. What was the nature of your presence there?
Yeah, so I tell you, Santa Rosa County, it's exciting what they've got going on in their industrial park. Shane and the county commission over there have done a great job, whether it be Buffalo Rock or the ice cream companies, the different folks they've been able to bring into that market. And so part of the need when you've got an industrial park is you've got to have adequate wastewater. You know, manufacturing consumes lots of water, and sometimes it spins off lots of wastewater.
Yeah.
So this is the first time that the county has endeavored into a utility type of service for constituents there. So, I mean, it's one of those things. It's not sexy, but if you want jobs, you got to have it. You've got to have the infrastructure. And so I got to be, it was an honor for me. I was there at the groundbreaking. And, you know, we're going to really see even more good things out of Santa Rosa County. And it's just like, it was so appropriate. You know, John's tease just before was for economic development in Escambia County. You've always got to have an arm of your county out there selling what your county has got. If you want good jobs, you want higher paying jobs, if you want diversity in your economy. And that's exactly what they're doing in Santa Rosa with that package plant.
It's funny, the things you think are interesting as a kid and the things you think are interesting as an adult, once you realize how the world works, and, you know, potholes,
yeah,
and
right,
sewage and electricity and infrastructure and road capacity. I mean, these are big things.
Stormwater.
Yeah, exactly. Stormwater. No doubt. TSA, this story, how are we still not paying? What in the world? This is ridiculous.
So there's only a limited amount of money that the administration's got to Rob and Peter to pay Paul to make these things work. There has been a couple rounds of back. There has been significant back pay that the TSA agents have gotten.
Okay.
But this is unfortunately the Democrats at some point, hopefully they get bored with themselves on this issue and they find something else they want to do. But I'm telling you, this boils down to politics. they're able to take the ICE issue and they fundraise off of it. That's all they do. They take it, they put it in an email, they put it in a text message. It's their sound bites at the political rallies. It does very well with their voting base, so they do this in order to have war paint on their face, in order to get a rise out of their supporters. It's horrible. It's gross. But this is politics at its worst.
Eric Swalwell is out. Good. I'm glad there's swift accountability. You had Gonzalez, I think, is also out. Of course, the question that people are asking is, well, did nobody know? Did nobody have any idea? Is there any real accountability in Congress for bad actors, of which I feel fairly confident in saying those aren't the only two?
Yeah, so, I mean, where it boils down with the case of Swalwell were the things in his case, he was going to be eaten alive outside. He's going to by the court system and by his accusers and maybe go to jail. In the case of, we'll take Swalwell for example, he was going to be dragged into a committee, the ethics committee, and the questions were not going to be pleasant. So you know what this guy does? You know what? I'm going to get that off my schedule, and I'm going to drop the heck out of Congress. So you know, these guys, they're feeling the heat outside of the chamber, which they'll deal in the court system, which is not as public as being on national TV with cameras pointing at you, having difficult questions asked about whatever you did outside of the congressional process. So again, this is a decision that he and his attorneys made to get out of Congress. So it's just less bloodletting. Same thing with Gonzalez. You know, there's others in the pipeline what's her face? I don't even remember her name yet. From South Florida, who stole $5 million from FEMA. Mm-hmm. The ethics committee has investigated. It has found that she brought her up on multiple charges. She'll be gone soon enough, and she will no longer be dealing with the prosecution in Congress. She'll be dealing with the prosecution in the federal court system outside of the process.
You know, it's interesting, too, because you have, as we've talked about many times, it's such a razor-thin margin in Congress right now. And, you know, with Swalwell out and others, you know, you had an impeachment vote that failed by a vote, literally one vote one way or the other. What was it, I think, 213 to 214? You know, that's, whew.
Well, there's a lot of dumb people. Congress is just like, you know, your group at work or your group at church or your group at school or your group in your
don't
your
insult
club.
My church and my workplace like that. How dare you, sir?
It's the rule of numbers. 10% of them are knuckleheads. You know, they do stupid stuff, and you know, it catches up with you. If you play stupid games, you're gonna win stupid prizes.
I still think our congressman just said my church is as dumb as Congress. How dare you?
There are people at church you don't talk to.
Oh no, no, you're right. You're right. That's true. Last thing. Strait of Hormuz, it's open, it's closed, the ceasefire is supposed to end on Wednesday. What do you think is happening? What do you think is going to happen here?
I think the Navy's putting holes in boats.
Yeah, that's
true. There was multiple ample warnings for them to stop, and they tried to get by, and, you know, the Navy punched them in the nose. So, speaking of the Navy, NAS Pensacola celebrated their 200th birthday this week.
That's right.
Kind of
you're right. Yeah. I think Shonda Newman, Captain Shonda Newman, had put out a video on that, and I completely forgot about it. All part of our leading up to the Navy Days, you know, celebration coming up next month. But yeah, you're right. The 200th anniversary for NAS Pensacola, pretty significant, right?
Yeah, they've got a whole new patch for this year, and she texted me a photo of it the other day, and so honored to be able to have that in our backyard.
No, it's fantastic.
We all should be celebrating that.
Jimmy Petronas, he is our congressman for Florida District 1. Jimmy, as always, thank you for the time, sir, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you next week, bud. Take care.